We have opportunity tonight to come and to hear the Lord as he continues to speak to us throughout this day. So I ask that you would give this time. Of course, we don't know how much time it's going to be because we don't have a clock. But that you would not be concerned with how long we're here, but that you would be concerned with the message that is provided and that you would take hold of the Word of God as our brother would bring it to us tonight. So I give you our pastor, Gordon McCann.
Adam. Well, good evening. It's good to see each one of you here. I do have a message. It kind of flows with, began this morning, Brother Stephen's Sunday school this morning, some of the things he was talking about or we were able to discuss this morning, and Brother Adam as well in his sermon. It has to do with the same kind of theme. I'd like to begin with going to Matthew. In the 22nd chapter, we find a parable here that Christ was speaking to the Jews, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and those that were there had been gathering, and he was helping them try to understand what was going to happen in the kingdom of heaven. Here in the 22nd chapter, it says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come." Here he was speaking of, this parable is speaking to the people that he was standing and looking at. "Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, and one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their cities. And that happened throughout their dispensation of time, Israel, the children of Israel, as they rejected their God from time to time. And actually, this is speaking of what was going to happen after the time Christ would return to his Father. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage." And that's that we find in the towards the end of Matthew, where he told his servants to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. "So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." And I want to focus on that last verse of Scripture in the 14th verse. "For many are called, but few are chosen to this wedding feast." The Lord, as he commanded his servants to go out in all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, repentance and baptism and laying on of hands and the reception of the Holy Ghost, that they might be worthy and might have those garments that are spoken of here for that wedding supper. Many are called, but few are chosen. The title of my sermon tonight is The People That Are Chosen by God. I hope and pray I'm looking at them this evening. Those who have taken upon them the waters of baptism, have heard that call, and have followed after the commandments of God and made that choice in their life to serve him to the end. Many are called, but few are chosen. In John, in the 15th chapter, it says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." That was when Christ was speaking to his disciples, but it's the same. He has chosen those that have a desire to follow him. in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, that's Paul speaking, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief in the truth. And the Apostle Peter in 1st chapter 2, 9, but ye are chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. All these things, these scriptures that I was pointing out to you, I wanted to impress upon you the need to reflect upon that thought, that there are many who are chosen, many hear the words of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they choose not to hear and follow after and make that choice, and thus not being chosen of God to enter in, not putting on those garments. And it's something, I guess, that I've been thinking a lot about our role here as this local and all of us who have put on salvation, put on the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we might be aware of our stature, the thing in which God has called us to be. In Nephi, we find the first book of Nephi in the first chapter in verse 165. If you remember correctly, we find here that Nephi was told to go and get the plates, and he was speaking to his brothers, and he makes this statement. It's on page 7. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, said unto my father, I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded, for I know that the Lord giveth no commandments unto the children of men, save he shall prepare a way for them, that they may accomplish the things which he commanded them. I think about those words as well in relationship to our calling to in this Church of Christ. Many times our brother in the Sunday school will bring things to us about the direction in which the world is going and all the powers that are being arrayed against the body of Christ. Sometimes in my thoughts it has a tendency to overwhelm me as to the insignificance that we are, we seemingly, as a body of believers, but the role that God has called us in these last days to fulfill. And then that's the reason why I use Nephi's words, that God had not given us a commandment, that he would not give us the power and authority and the ability to fulfill it. And so, you know, I thank God that we have these examples in the scripture that we can go to, people who experienced those things in real life. And they were recorded for us for our faith and our strength and our understanding that God is a God above his word. And he has called us to do this work in these last days. In Luke, in the 12th chapter, the words of Christ, here in verse 32. Let's see, 12:32. When he was speaking to the point that I'm trying to make this evening concerning that realization of the work that's in front of us, and so the Lord makes this statement to his disciples and to all of us. It says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Many times the Lord saw the anxiety in the hearts of those that had followed him, especially his disciples. Many times he tried to console them and to help them to understand those things in which he would help him in being able to accomplish. And it is the same for us this day. In verse 48, he says, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten for a few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Those are the kind of things that God is looking from those who have a desire to serve him. Those who know much, have much understanding of the things that God has given and have received from him, the forgiveness, the beauty of the Spirit of God working within our lives, the truth of the gospel, we stand firm on those things. Much has been given us in these last days. And with that, he's going to commit much to us, that responsibility. And I guess that's what I'm trying to reemphasize for each one of us, to look within our lives, to understand that much has been given to us and much is required at our hands by God. In First Nephi in the third chapter, much has been given to the Church of Christ, and I'll reemphasize this. In the third chapter, verses 183, this is a very familiar scripture. We find on page 37 here, speaking of the Gentiles, and it's talking about those things that God was going to prepare and give to the Gentiles that they might not stumble. And after the Gentiles do stumble exceedingly because of the most plain and precious parts of the gospel of the Lamb, which has been kept back by the abominable church, which is the mother of harlots, saith the Lamb, I will be merciful unto the Gentiles in that day, insomuch I will bring forth unto them in mine own power much of my gospel, which shall be plain and precious, saith the Lamb. How precious is that gospel to you? And how do you feel in when you're in the world and being able to, do you feel comfortable enough to be able to share that gospel? Or do you have misgivings sometimes? You know, I think about it when I have opportunity to speak and to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I have reservations. And the only reason why I have the reservation is because it is so precious to me that I don't want it trampled on. I don't want it thrown away. And yet I know the Lord has commanded us, each one of us, to share the gospel, to share the good word of Jesus Christ, to share our testimony, to be a light unto the world, to show and to reflect the chosen people of God. One of the things I know that I've had opportunity from time to time in the business world is that if I'm having not a formal meeting, but meetings where I know the people that I'm with and we're having dinner or whatever, I said I'd like to say a prayer over the food. And I know after I've said the prayer that it has given me an opportunity to testify of the power of God that comes through prayer. And I've had good responses from that. It's those little things that we can do in our lives to reflect that beautiful gift that God has given us as being the chosen people of God and being able to help others to understand that power that comes with that blessing from God. As you go down here further, it says, "And in them shall be written my gospel." This is 186. "Saith the Lamb, my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost." That's one of the things that the world doesn't understand and will never understand. That's part of the garments that you will have when you enter into that marriage feast, is the garments of the Spirit of God, the purification that comes by way of that Spirit dwelling in you and with you. It is what makes your garments white is through that blood of Jesus Christ, through the reception of the Holy Ghost. In this last thing that I read, seek to bring forth Zion at that day. That is our mission, the Church of Christ, is seeking forth Zion. I know a long time ago when we had some of our elders here in this church, and when they used to come to my home, we did a lot of talking about Zion. We heard a lot about it when we were younger. We heard a lot about the things that they thought would transpire. We heard about things about having to pack our bags and travel, maybe to Missouri. I remember a lot of things about that. One of the things, though, that I see that throughout the time that that generation passed on, some of the thoughts, some of the things concerning Zion maybe have changed just a little as to that mission, concerning the mission statement. Not to mean that they were wrong, but that we could see more clearly some of the things that would bring about or help to seek to bring about Zion. Or God bless this little congregation here, and we have many people going out throughout all the world preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, Zion. Where there's many who have been called and many have been chosen to be a people of God. Some of us have been able to meet them. Some of us have been able to read their testimonies in the Advocate and the different things, or read whatever on emails. But we know the beauty of how God has worked with us in these last days to help further that cause of Zion. Right here, right from this little place here. Much is required of the church. And with that said, those things that is required of us, that responsibility, sometimes I find that in my own life and these things, the little things in life that seem to be there to distract us, kind of like what Adam was saying this morning, how easy it is that we might be distracted from that in which God has called us to do and be. And as pastor, that's some of the things I want to talk about. That's the thing I want to bring to your attention tonight. I mean, it's for me and it's for you and it's for all of us here to be mindful that we're the chosen people of God. Much is required of us. And sometimes we allow those things of the world to press us down. Cause us to falter. And I hope and pray that we look to the God who called us to strengthen us, to help us through those times and to bring us back into focus, as Adam said, you know, with his son, to bring us back into that focus, that purpose, that calling which God has called us to be. Here we find the third chapter of 1 Nephi, we look for this. Yeah, this is verse 2-6 in that third chapter. We find that it says, and it came to pass, as on page 40, and it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and the abomination of the whore who sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth, and their dominions upon the face of the earth were small because of the wickedness of the great whore whom I saw. And we see the evidence of those things even today. How these scriptures are coming to fruition in our day, the day that we live. We see these things being fulfilled. Yet we know also in verse 230 it says, "And it came to pass, I beheld the power of the Lamb of God, that it descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord, who were scattered upon all the face of the earth, and they were armed with righteousness and with the power of God in great glory." That very thing that I read that Nephi was depending upon in the things in which God has commanded him to do. And so we can depend on that same power and that same glory for God to help us to accomplish the things he has called us to do. I know, it's kind of ironic, but I have here, it says, God has chosen us in these last days among many Christian believers. Sometimes it's almost the best way to close a door when you're talking to somebody is to make that kind of a statement, that we're the only church that has the authority from God that men might have those garments to be worthy to enter in to that marriage feast. Those can be very hard words for someone to hear. But I want you to think not on those terms as much as the terms of you who have chosen that path, the sacredness of it, the sacredness of the choice, the spirit that you've been given of God to be those people in these last days. The awesome responsibility and all the things that we do, all the things that we say. Our lives, those choices that we make every day. A revelation that was delivered in Independence, Missouri, on Sunday, May 1st, 1927, through James E. Yates, a voice of testimony. "Verily, out of the broken fragments of my spiritual kingdom of these last days, I have preserved unto myself a remnant for the carrying forward of my work unto its final completeness." Final completeness. "The people of this remnant of my church on the temple land, which has been consecrated to me, have not been wholly in accord with my will, nor are we yet. Neither do they this day fashion all their work perfectly in me. But behold, for a wise purpose in me, your Lord and your Redeemer, I have held them in the hollow of mine hand." Being identified of God, being a chosen people to represent him in the last days. A lot of times that's the reason why I go to the book of John and read the words of Christ. They're my most favorite verses of scripture that I like to read. Here we find in the 15th chapter, Christ speaking, "Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." So the converse of that, if you don't do the commandments of God, you're not the friend of Christ. You're the opposite. "Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And God has been gracious unto us, given us that understanding from time to time through different crises and different things that come up in the world or within the Church of Christ. Have been given that knowledge and understanding of those things where we have nothing to fear and we have everything to know and understand to be able to stand on that truth and those things which God has called us to do with that assurance. that he is with us in these last days. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye shall go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. I think about those verses as the Lord is speaking to his servants, but he's also speaking to those gathered there as well, where he rolls it all together. These things I command you, that you love one another. Because later on you find that he speaks, he says, you know, the world is going to hate you. They're going to despise you because of the things that you believe. Because you believe in me, Jesus Christ. And you're going to be hated of the world. You're going to be persecuted of the world. You're going to be pushed and shoved, and all kinds of things are going to happen to you in your life because of your belief in me. But then he helps us to understand the importance that those who have been chosen of God to love one another. A commandment, a command, not just a passing thought. Our focus in our lives, I want to go to Colossians and read a scripture verse there. If I can get over there. We find, for Pete's sakes, it's in the third Colossians in verse 1 through 3. I'm losing my voice already. If ye then be risen with Christ, speaking of Paul was saying after you are baptized, you have died to the world, you've been buried, and you've been raised up in a newness of life. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. How difficult it is sometimes to be mindful of that. How easy it is for us to slip in that old path of life, to do those things that are not convenient to the things of God, and allow our weaknesses in the flesh to present themselves in full glory before man. It is very important for us, each one of us. One of the things I thought about was, I remember in the scriptures when Jesus was with Mary and in her home, and like in all things, Mary was rushing about, taking care of those things, wanting to do those good things for Christ, preparing the food and as a good hostess would for a guest. And she found her sister sitting at the feet of Christ, listening to the things he had to say. You know, Mary was pretty distraught about that, wasn't she? If you remember those scriptures. She was pretty distraught about it. And so she complained to Jesus, you know, well, why don't you tell my sister to help me out here in these things I'm trying to get done? And Christ rebuked Martha in a very loving way. How many times are we Martha in our life? You know, all caught up in those things of the world, all those stresses and wanting to feel pulse to do those things, and forgetting the weightier matters, those things that really do matter. Our focus that Brother Adam so eloquently showed us an example of him and his son in the forest, where we stray off that straight and narrow path and allow those weaknesses to enter in and frustrate us and cause us to have all those anxieties that we don't need, nor God intended us to have. Set our affections on above, on things above and not on things of the earth. It doesn't mean that it wasn't necessary to care for those things, but to be able to put them in their proper place. Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? Milestones in our lives to discipline by self-denial. That's one of the things that we find in Colossians in this fifth verse here. It says, mortify, or to make dead, put to cause it to cease, therefore your members which are upon the earth. You, your physical you, put to death, or disciplined by self-control. And then it gives a litany of things: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, conspicuousness, covetousness, which is idolatry. And all those things that are of the flesh that come into our lives so easily because of our weaknesses that we have in the flesh. God works by small means. Sometimes we think there has to be this great, grandiose thing that has to occur for God to work. I don't know if you remember Elijah when the Lord was trying to help him to understand. He brought about earthquake and the great wind and fire and all those things. And then a small, still voice came to him, which was the power of God, touching the heart of Elijah, helping him to understand. By that small, still voice, he could move mountains. In Alma, in the 17th chapter, in the 36th verse, we find here, it says, and the Lord God doth work by means to bring about his great and eternal purposes, and by very small means the Lord doth confound the wise and bringeth about salvation of many souls. And he's showing that through us. This little church of Christ, by very small means. Here we are, we're sitting in the church that, you know, that we all worked together to build and have built long ago. Now we're renovating it. We don't have a whole lot of money. And it's hard sometimes to be able to do these things. Very small means. The power of God is within each one of us to do what's right, to hear the calling of God, to fulfill his commandments in this very humble place, with no rug and whatever it is. God has called us, each one of us, out of the world. And you have that opportunity. This moment, so when two or three are gathered together, I will be there. He is here with us, helping us to understand his ways through the simpleness of preaching, testimonies, and songs, and the fellowship that he gives us throughout this day when we've gathered together. And it can be very confounding to the wise if someone come in from one of these high and fancy churches that have all these Sunday school classes and have all these different events and different programs for the young people, and you name it, they've got it all. They have it all. But they are the ones that are going to be standing at that marriage supper, and they're going to be asked, where are your garments? Where are your garments? In the Book of Commandments, in the first chapter, in the fourth verse, I'm just going to take a snippet of it, that the fullness of my gospel might be proclaimed by the weak and the simple. That's you and I. Unto the ends of the world, and before kings, and before rulers. Some of that has already occurred. There's going to be a whole lot more of that in the days to come. The daughter of Zion. In Isaiah, another beautiful scripture that I love to read and count on to be able to strengthen me. It's the 62nd chapter, verses 10 through 12. go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up highways, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Speaking of this standard right here, the Bible and the Book of Mormon, the Word of God, lift up that standard. Gather out the stones, lift up the standard for the people. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Speaking of everyone who has been chosen of God to be his people. Some time ago, I remember when Brother Don brought this forth to us, Brother Placido Coyoc, the elder Placido, he had a dream or a vision or whatever you want to call it. It was back in December of 1988. He was an evangelist at the time. He said here, it says, Evangelist Placido Coyoc awoke early in the morning while praying over the day's activities. A vision appeared before him. He first saw his family, then all his brothers and sisters in his congregation, which represented to him the church at large. He was overcome with the impression that there was a great need within the church. With his awareness, the vision faded, and as he pondered the significance of what he had seen, there came to his mind one by one a list of needs for which he thought we should be praying. He listed them together with a few scriptures which came to his mind. Who remembers that? Does anybody remember that? Brother Randy, you remember that. I remember Brother Don standing up and reading it and asking us to pray concerning it. I remember it went out to conference too, didn't it, Randy? In all the conference, they brought this forth. I'm going to read off the different ones. There's eight of them, and it's going to be important, so I'm going to bring it to us. Number one, it says, pray that the Lord of harvest will send laborers into the vineyards. And that was one of the things that was impressed upon his heart, that they needed to pray, they themselves, that they might have ministry amongst them. There was elders there, very old elders there, that were going to three and four different locals who were elders, who were the pastors of these different locals. They would travel. They would start at the beginning of the week, and they would travel the whole week to these different places because there were no ministry in those different locals. to care for that. And so he was impressed upon to pray that the Lord would send laborers. Pray for the responsibilities and the well-being of the pastors in the ministry, those who were there at that time, that those responsibilities, that they were to lift those pastors and ministers up in prayer, that that the Lord would strengthen them and help them in that work and give them the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost to be able to affect that work amongst them. Pray for the responsibility of the parents to God and to their children. That was another thing that they were seeing at that time, was that television and all those different things were coming into their lives, and it was taking their kids away from them, where they found locals that had just a few old folk sitting out in the congregation because of all these distractions that were coming about. And so it was that he was impressed that they needed to pray for the responsibility of the parents to God for their children. Pray for the duties of our youth towards God and their parents. That was another thing that he saw, that as the kids got a little bit older and wanted to basically escape from the control of their parents, and they left the church. And that was something that was going on on a daily basis with our brothers and sisters down there because of all those distractions that were coming on. That they needed to focus on helping those young people know and understand the responsibilities that they had towards God, that they didn't lose those young people. Pray for our little ones, their duties towards God and their parents. And so he was concerned that they had a bunch of little ones as well that might follow the same suit if they weren't careful, that they needed to lift them up in prayer. Pray concerning the physical and spiritual sicknesses within the church and for those outside the church. They had a lot of different physical problems where they found that they needed the power and the gift of the Holy Ghost to care for those things, as well as the spiritual sicknesses that was going on within the body of Christ in that area. Pray for the work of God in the world, that others will be converted to the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And then pray for the endurance of faith and Christian unity and service to our God. And those things were very important, and that kind of culminated the thoughts that he was given. He made known his experience to his congregation and asked them to join with him in a committee of Christian energy. And it was quoted Ephesians 6:18. A considerable number of our young people and adults have done so and met each Wednesday afternoon to unite their prayers for these specific needs. The leaders and the committee met as well each Sunday morning at 5 a.m. to pray earnestly for these needs of the church. Now, with that said, you have to realize that at that time also that there were locals that they were, because of strife and different things, that they had totally separated themselves from one another and found themselves in dire straits, a crossroads, as I could probably say, a spiritual crossroad. And the Lord helped Brother Placido understand what was wrong and what they needed to do, and they chose the right thing. Because as they met and continued to pray and to work towards these things and focused on these different things, it affected a change in the hearts of the young people, in the hearts of the older people, where those two groups were able to come together in harmony. There were those who were called into the ministry to work that work, and there was a mighty change. God poured out blessings upon them, spiritual blessings and physical blessings. things when those were administered to. And I'm not just saying it off the top of my head, because our brother Don stood and bore testimony of those things. That's what happened when they focused as a body of believers on those things that God had pointed out to them that they needed to focus on. And I guess the thing that impressed upon me in my heart when I was considering these things to bring forth to you tonight was, one, that help you to realize that you are a chosen people of God. And these very things that Brother Placido saw within his shepherd, his flock, are the very things that I, as pastor, see that we have need of. When we have 8 or 9 people come to be administered to, we have these things in our congregation, a lot of young people, little ones. We have a lot of young adults looking for answers from God. We have a lot of young parents. That are looking for God to work in their life. People who have chosen to come here that they might be able to experience the power of God in their life and in the lives around them. We have this need. I have this need. These things, these 8 things, are as much for them as it is for us today. And there are testimony that those words, those things that God had impressed upon our brother Placido, the way by which you can affect those changes, they accepted. And it worked. I know in my personal life, it was the only time is when I would turn to my God in that manner that he worked work within my life. As pastor, I think we need to consider these things. And to humbly ask God to help us to see where we can make that focus on a regular basis to make those changes we need here to go further in that work that God has called us to do in these last days. That we would be able to fulfill the commandment that God has given us to be, you know, the chosen people of God, the daughter of Zion. I hope and pray that I've made some sense. As Adam said this morning, he was speaking to himself, and so am I. I'm speaking to myself as well. We have a lot at stake. When those little ones was singing up here, there was, what, 8 to 9 little ones? How many teenagers and young adults we have that are looking and seeking, having a desire to experience some of the things that they've read about, looking for answers to their lives, having a desire to experience the things of God. I pray that that we each one in our prayers consider these words. May God bless you.